Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Good morning. Jim Dewey in again, filling in for Mary Griffith, who I hope and pray will be well and back with us tomorrow. But indeed, if she is not, I will be here again. It is 20 minutes after 9 o'clock, and it's time for the Mary Griffith Show. And my guest this morning is Stan Schwartz. Stan is known throughout the area as an independent insurance agent licensed in Illinois and Missouri who deals with life and health insurance for baby boomers and their parents. And one of the things we want to get talking about right away, because there is a bit of a deadline coming up, and that's if people want to get out of their private Medicare Advantage plan, they need to do that by, what, February 14th?
That's right, Jim. Thanks for having me in this morning. Yeah, I just wanted to take a minute to announce that. You just said it. If people have until February 14th to get out of their private Medicare Advantage plan. Now, if you have a group Medicare Advantage plan, this opportunity is not there. You will be in that for the remainder of 2017. But if you have a private Medicare Advantage plan and you would like to get out of it, you have that opportunity till February 15th. What I have discovered in my practice is a few people have gotten into those thinking that they were still in original Medicare and they had purchased a supplement, which is not the case. So if you want to, you don't know and you're really not sure and you have some doubts, give me a call. Come in and see me, and we'll look at what you got, and we'll take it from there.
Okay.
And there's certainly some people that is in their best interest. Others have gotten into it and sometimes found that it's not. But and we're going to tell you that. I mean, it's going to be we're going to kind of do an interview and find out. And yeah. Well, yes, you are, but you need to just stay where you are.
What is the difference then between Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement?
Well, actually, I kind of need a visual for that, Jim. Medicare Advantage plans actually replace original Medicare, but you and quite often they include a prescription drug plan along with them. But they do actually replace original Medicare. Having said that, people still need to keep their Medicare Part A and their pay their Medicare Part B and pay those premiums. So they do need to keep that up, but it falls under some different guidelines, some different rules. And there are, particularly when it comes to pre-certification of procedures at the hospital that you don't have with original Medicare, the doctor knows how to code it. It's coded, bang, you're in. If you need a, I know one individual had cited me an example that kind of really put me on notice with this. They were needing a surgery, and like on a Wednesday, and boy, they just discovered this, and the doctor says, we really need to do surgery. We need to do it quickly. Let's get this in here on Friday. Well, come to find out, they had to do their pre-certification, and the pre-certification process said, well, fine, we'll get back to you in a couple weeks. Well, that individual maybe didn't have a couple weeks to wait, and that can happen. And that same individual I have discovered is that if they had original Medicare, it would have been coded, bingo, surgery could have been performed, and it would have been over.
Okay.
So that's a good example.
All right. So people do need, I'm sure a lot of people have questions with that then, and they need to get a hold of you and find out more. We'll talk more in a little bit about how people can do that. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to be where you are.
Well, I'm a Adams County farm boy and grew up out in northern Adams County and worked in real estate and farming for a number of years. And then I got in the insurance business in 1982, primarily worked in the commercial insurance market for 9 years, a little over that, actually. And then I had a life-changing event, which I'm very thankful for. Within a period of a month, I got power of attorney for two aunts. I knew nothing about the over age 65 market at all. Didn't really want to, or so I thought. And so I started looking for some advice from other agents and other people, and I really didn't find people that really specialized in this area. There were people that did a little bit with it. They sold the products, but they maybe didn't know quite all the have quite all the answers that I wanted to have answered. So I kind of became a student of long-term care insurance and Medicare supplement. Of course, this was pre-internet, so sure. It was all digging through the books and finding what I needed to find. And what I discovered was that there was a niche there that was not filled. The more I worked with that, the more I found that I liked the demographic. And, of course, that's interesting, too. We were just talking about that outside the studio, about when I started this, I was working with people my parents' age, the greatest generation, and as then we worked with the silent generation, and then the Korean vets, and now we're working with the baby boomers. So hence sure. the slogan, working with baby boomers and their parents for their insurance needs. But anyway, I found out I liked the demographic. I liked the type of sale. There was a real need for the counseling that's involved. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that there's somebody who is educated on this because, I'm a boomer. I'm 60. I just turned 60, and hopefully within a few years I'll be looking at retirement, and I'm going to need some advice on this, and I don't necessarily trust myself to remember all of the things that I need to remember, so it's great to have someone who can do that for me.
Well, you bring up a great point. It's just wonderful when people come in years, at least several months before they think about retiring, and come in and just have an appointment and sit down and say, who do I need to see, what do I need to do, and in what order do I need to do them? I love those appointments because it can create a sense of peace, and it can avoid a whole lot of problems.
Sure.
Sometimes which can be very serious. For example, I've had people come in with, for example, younger spouses, and they're ready to retire, and they're wanting to know the big picture, what's it going to look like for me and what it's going to look like for my spouse. Well, I know one particular case where I really strongly encourage the person, because of their age difference and of their spouse, to continue to work. And I said, can you do it for such a period? And they said, well, yes, I'm kind of ready to retire. But once they looked at the numbers, they said, well, yes, I need to keep on working here for a while. That can flip the other way, too. They may continue to work and say, for that insurance, and say, well, did you realize that you can do this, this, and this? And sometimes they don't know that. So it's really a niche that's a nice place to be.
Yeah. Well, at what point, then, should somebody come in and see you?
I recommend 6 months before you're thinking about retiring.
Okay.
Before retiring, not before you turn 65. Certainly that, whether you're retiring or not. Even if you're going to continue to work, I recommend coming in and seeing me about 6 months before you turn 65.
Okay.
If you're planning on continuing to work, if you're thinking about retiring, the earlier the better. And just
sure.
kind of lay it out and take a look at it and see what the numbers are going to be.
All right, then I need to make an appointment for December 29, 2020.
You're a great planner. I like that. You come see me.
I've only been planning my retirement for the last 4 years. So, planning it, just not preparing for it. That's of course, something that's what this is about, preparing for it.
It is, and it's sad when people come in, I retired last week. Well, what do I do? And then they find out that, well, they're not Medicare eligible yet, and then this and that, and they hadn't looked at this and that.
Right.
Sometimes they're kind of sad appointments.
So get some help before you take that step.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what is Medicare supplement, then, and does everybody need it?
I would project that virtually everyone needs Medicare supplement. Medicare supplement is the most simple insurance product in the market. All you have to know is if Medicare approves it, Medicare supplement, by virtue of its name, picks up what Medicare approves and doesn't pay. It does not pay anything that Medicare does not approve, but that, in fact, is a rare situation. And the providers, the doctors, are to let you know if there is some procedure or something that's not going to be covered, mm-hmm. and they are to ask you to sign for it, and that is rare, but occasionally it can happen. So Medicare supplement is a very, very simple product. Okay. Simple product. What's the big deal? It's all the rules surrounding it that get complicated. when you're eligible, why you are eligible. There's a whole gamut of things that I will not get into here. We have open enrollment. We have guaranteed issue. There's a difference between Illinois and Missouri in some of those regulations. So, again, that's why people need to see me ahead of time to prepare and know what to expect.
And there are different types of Medicare supplement, too. I mean, different levels, is that right?
Well, yes. Medicare supplement plans were standardized in 1992. Well, it's been a number of years ago. They were revised in 2010. And those revisions were not major revisions, mm-hmm. but they were revised in 2010. So actually they are standardized.
Okay.
The common plans that people are buying now are G is the most popular at this point. Plan F is still the gold standard, but there are economic reasons, which are pretty easy to visually see, to go to a G, and a few people will go to N, but it makes no difference from what company you buy it. Plan G is Plan G is Plan G. Plan F is Plan F is Plan F.
All right. We are talking again with Stan Schwartz of Schwartz Insurance Services. He is licensed in Illinois and Missouri, an independent insurance agent who is providing life and health insurance advice and insurance for baby boomers and their parents. And I told you we weren't going to take a break, but we will take a short time out so that both of us can clear our throats and come back with a little bit more and once again talk about the deadline coming up for people who might want to get out of their Medicare Advantage plan. It's Talk Radio 930, WTAD, cloudy skies and still a little bit of rain, and we're expecting rain throughout the day today and into tonight, but pleasant temperatures for January 48 are expected high today. Right now we're at about 36 degrees and cloudy skies, and Jim Dewey in for Mary Griffith and the Mary Griffith Show. My guest is Stan Schwartz from Schwartz Insurance Services, and we're talking about Medicare and health insurance, life insurance for baby boomers and their parents. And just we mentioned it, and as you say, it's not a huge deal, but there is a deadline for people who want to get out of the private Medicare Advantage plan, and that is February 14th. But we also want to talk a little bit more about Medicare supplemental insurance, what it is, and some of the differences. And the fact that, you know, a lot of people think, well, okay, I've made this choice, this is what I want, and then things change, and they think, oh, I've got to wait a year to change it.
Well, that's right, and that is something that has honestly crept into the culture. It's in people's mindset. People, because there is only one time in the year that they can do their Medicare Part D, their prescription drug plan, that needs to be done between October 15th and December 7th. This disenrollment period for private Medicare Advantage plans will end February 14th. Now, we look at Medicare supplement insurance. People regularly change from one company to another. As I said, the plans are all the same. The coverage is the same. Nobody ever knows the difference when they move companies, but there is a difference in premium. People tend to think that they can only do that during one of these periods, and that is not true. Medicare supplement can be changed at any time during the year. So I just encourage people, if they get a rate increase, give me a call. There's some types of insurance that I will not talk about rates over the phone, Medicare supplements, because they're all, it's a commodity,
sure.
So to speak. That's no problem at all. Just give me a call and say, here's the rate at your age, and then we just go from there. And if we can help you, great. And if we can't, and if you're, the numbers talk, if you're better off staying right where you are, you're going to know that. So that's something that I just say again and again. There's a lot of myths out there, and I always say that people don't come to me with incorrect information. They come with partial information.
Mm-hmm.
They heard something at the beauty shop,
right,
or the coffee shop, and they say, Stan, is it true that such and such? And my answer is mostly, well, yes, that is right. However, there's more to the story.
Okay. Stan Schwartz, how do people get a hold of you?
People can call me at my office, 217-228-1622. I'm open basically 9 to 5:30, but we always recommend an appointment. We want everybody to get the attention that they deserve, and we like to have time for everyone. And occasionally things, I do have a full-time assistant, and but occasionally we both get pulled out of the office for one thing or another, so it's always best to call first. Though I have a website, www.schwartzquincy.com.
All right. Stan Schwartz, thank you so very much. Appreciate it. I've learned quite a bit. I hope our audience has too. It's 9:39 at WTAD, and we'll be back with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech on WTAD. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. It is 9:42, and it was on August 28, 1963, that Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Dream speech. It was on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and in honor of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we would like to play that for you now.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check,
yes,
a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom,
yes,
and the security of justice.
Yes.
We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. And those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content, we'll have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must be able to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. with this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
From August 1963, the "I Have a Dream" speech by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.